Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
To Mo Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am here once again with my man, the Lord of Draft Season, JR. How's it going, dude?
It's good, man. Happy to be here. Ready to discuss some draft prospects.
All right. Well, we're keeping things moving along tonight. And we're going to talk about edge rushers. You know, that's one of the positions people get really excited about during draft season. So, of course, we got the man, JR, here. If you haven't already done it, you can buy his draft guide. It is on sale. Hop on over to climbingthepocket.com. $5. Gets you some great scouting reports, gets you some great NFL comparisons. You get JR's grades, position fits for all these players. Probably the best value that you're going to find out there during draft season. So if you haven't already, go ahead and make that purchase. But today, we're going to be talking about edge rushers. So JR, without further ado, we're going to get right into this thing. Number 5, who you got for us coming off the edge to get after the quarterback?
This may come as a surprise to some. I'm a bit lower on this guy than big media seems to be, and that's Marcus Davenport from UTSA. Just a phenomenal player, one of the better players in school history. Broke the sack record down there with 22 sacks. Probably one of the best defensive players in their entire program history. With him, you're getting a traditional pass rusher. Now, one of the things that does scare me about him is that everything he does is from a two-point stance, and every sack that he's recorded in his career is from a two-point stance. But he's not a guy that I think can be a 3-4 outside linebacker. I think he has to be a traditional defensive end in a four-down front. So that's going to require him more oftentimes than not to put his hand in the dirt. And what you saw down at the Senior Bowl is that he just wasn't comfortable with doing that because it's something that's completely new and foreign to him. Now, he did get better as the week progressed down there. And once he was required to do that in the game, he did flash. He had a sack and a forced fumble down there. So a lot of people are seeing that he's progressing and getting better each and every day. He's a guy that compared to Carlos Dunlap, very similar stature and very similar situations. But I think he's more of a potential and upside pick. And I think that's why a lot of people have him going in their top 10 and even top 15.
And you say you're a little bit lower on him than like kind of consensus or big media. So I guess what kind of grade do you have on him compared to, I guess, what you're seeing out there?
I have a mid-second on him right now because I don't think he's a guy that can come in and be a really immediate contributor. But if you're just asking him to be a pass rusher, I think he can be that. But if you're asking him to be an every down player early on as a rookie, I don't think he's able to do that because I just don't think he has the strength in order to do that right now. And I mean, the guys you take in the first round, you really want them to come in and be immediate contributors. And I don't think he can be that unless it's in passing down situations.
All right. That makes sense. Well, I guess take us to your number 4 here.
Now, this is a guy I'm much higher on than a lot of other people, and that's Rasheem Green.
Oh, boy, that's your guy right there.
Yeah, man, this is one of my guys right here. I love me some Rasheem Green. His film is not going to wow you. He's a guy that really doesn't know what he's doing out there right now. But you talk about a guy that's 6'4", 275 pounds, and he ran just a hair over a 4.7 at the combine. So he has those elite traits that you look for, and he's only 20 years old. So that's another variable that he has working in his favor. And a lot of people were saying if he would have went back for another season next year, coming into 2019, he probably would have been a consensus top 15 pick. That's how highly people thought of him. Now, a lot of people were saying that he made a mistake coming out this year because he has a long way to go. But I'm completely fine with that. Having a project guy like that in-house, I think could be a phenomenal player. Now, he's more of your traditional upside pick, like I said, with Davenport. But I think his ceiling is even higher than Davenport because he's a guy that's much bigger. He weighs 10 more pounds than Davenport. And what you can do with Green as opposed to Davenport, you can slide him down inside at three technique on those pass rushing downs, if you want to get in a NASCAR package where you want to get your predominantly pass rushers all on the field at one time. And he's a guy you can move all up and down the line of scrimmage. But right now, he just doesn't know what he's doing out there. He just doesn't know how to use his arms or his limbs. He has no hand usage at all right now. He just runs down the middle of offensive linemen that are trying to block him. So he's that big ball of clay that you have to mold. But I think his upside is tremendous.
All right, all right, all right. Well, let's keep it moving here. Who do you got at number three?
Josh Sweat from Florida State. And I've given him high praise. And I'm a big believer in Josh Sweat. A lot of people know about the knee issues. Was a heralded recruit coming out of high school. Was the number one recruit in the country in 2015 out of Virginia. He went to a very well-known school there called Oscar Smith, which is one of the better programs in the entire state. He blew his knee out there. He dislocated his kneecap and tore his ACL. So he did some significant damage to that knee. But what was so promising about him is that he did not miss the consecutive season that followed that. He played as a true freshman, and he started a countless number of games. I believe he started 9 games the following season after he blew his knee out. But after that, the next season, he had another setback, suffered another knee injury. He tore his meniscus. So there's a lot of damage that's been done to that knee, and a lot of people are scared of his medical situation and saying that if he messes his knee up again, he might not be that same player. But you talk about a guy that's 21 years old, just turned 21 years old, I believe, 3 or 4 days ago. So he's just a baby. He's going to be a baby out there with grown men, but he's a guy that's already ready-made to go as a run defender, very violent hands. You just see him jolt offensive lineman back when he's defending against the run. He's a decent pass rusher, but he needs to learn how to get off the ball a bit faster. And, of course, I think that's easily improvable by just listening to the snap count and seeing the ball snap. But you talk about a guy that has very, very high upside. I've compared him to Javon Kearse. That's how high I think of Josh Sweat.
Boy, that is very, very high praise there. And so for you, because I know that you're saying he might need to learn a little bit more from a pass rush perspective, I guess what is it that makes you think so highly of a Josh Sweat and I guess his projection to the next level versus someone like a Davenport that like big draft tends to see as being, I guess, a consensus, you know, first round pick?
Well, one of the biggest reasons is that I think he was a bit misused in Florida State system. I don't think they played him a lot to his strengths. I think they played him a little bit too much inside. They played him at 3 technique some, and he's more of your traditional 5 technique or 4-3 defensive end. That's on the outside shoulder of tackles. They played him more at that 3 technique position and slid him down inside more oftentimes than not. And I just don't think he or his skill set is suited for that. He's just too light to play that, but he still held his own. And all of his flashes were when he was at defensive end. So he has a lot of tools in his tool shed. And I think that there's a lot of tools there that the right coach can improve upon and help him become a very high end player.
Awesome. 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 Well, take us down the line here. Who do you got at number 2?
Harold Landry from Boston College, very mature individual. A lot of players or his teammates said he has an old soul, already married, has a young kid, I believe it's a young son, a newborn son. So very mature. He's more of your traditional pass rusher. I compared him to Vic Beasley. He's not very good against the run. And when teams run directly at him, he typically gets washed out of plays. But that's something that you can help him improve upon, and that's just coming with his anchor and exactly where to place his hands to help him set the edge better. But you talk about a guy, if you ask him to just pin his ears back and rush the passer, I think he has elite traits at doing that. He has the ability to bend the arc very successfully. His hips are very good, and he's able to flatline right to the quarterback when he can rush right up the field against offensive tackle. So if you're asking him to just come in and be that pass rusher, I think he's a guy that could come in and be a 10-plus sack guy. Now, not right away, but I think he's a guy that can probably be that third defensive end early on in his career that eventually becomes a starter.
All right. Well, I feel like at this point it's not much of a surprise who's number one, but I guess go ahead and let the folks know. Who do you have at number one?
Yeah, I mean, he's a top 3 guy for everybody in this draft, and that's Bradley Chubb from NC State. Very interesting story. He comes from a small town, believe it or not, in Georgia called Chubbtown. where he and his family have a lot of history. His dad was drafted in the 12th round of the 1989 draft by the Patriots, and his second cousin is Nick Chubb, the running back from Georgia. So he has very strong bloodlines and very strong genes in his family. But you talk about a guy that has very violent hands, very heavy hands, understands how to set the edge as a run defender, very good hips. Not the best hips. I won't say very good hips. He doesn't have overly good hips like a Harold Landry, but he has just enough to win on the edge and be a very good pass rusher. So just his versatility as both a run defender and a consistent pass rusher is why people have him so high. He's a guy compared to Everson Griffin, and we all know Griffin doesn't have elite type of hips, but he has that juice and he wins with effort. And that's what you see in Chubb. And the best game, or my favorite game to watch of him this year, was against Louisville. Just watching him chase around Lamar Jackson and even catching him on backside pursuits sometimes just so shows how athletic he is.
Yeah, and that was really the only thing I was going to ask you about Chubb, because really the only thing that you can kind of, I guess, say knock in his profile is, you know, the lack of, you know, lateral agility. And that showed up in, you know, his combine testing as well, where, you know, his you know, shuttle and three cone really weren't all that good. I guess when you're projecting him to the next level, really you're just seeing him kind of be that guy who's going to outwork everyone like an Everson Griffin, kind of, you know, set it up with the bull rush and then develop maybe a counter move off that he's going to make his money on.
Yeah, he's a very savvy run defender and pass rusher. He's a guy that has a wide variety of moves in his repertoire, and that's really where he wins. He's really smart. And like I said, he doesn't have the best hips, but he has just enough to bend the edge. And I don't think he's going to be a consistent 10-plus sack guy, but I think he's a guy that can be right in that range year after year. But he's going to give you plenty of value and plenty of versatility on third downs.
All right, that makes some sense. And I think that's it. You know, we're two into this thing here now. We've got the defensive tackles out of the way. We got the edge. Once again, JR, thanks for coming on. Listeners, yo, thanks for riding with us here. We're gonna be giving you these quick snippets really every day every weekday. You'll be getting a little something from us between now and the draft. So stick with us. And if you haven't already bought the draft guide, make sure you go ahead and do that. You get even more details than JR is giving y'all today about even more prospects. So, yeah, pick it up. ClimbingThePocket.com. It's only $5. Do it. JR, yeah, I'll be keeping you busy here. So I'll be talking to you soon, man.